Three eyes, called the sun, moon, and fire. And one cannot escape his vigilance any more than one can escape Vishnu. Although seen by the police, a criminal is sometimes not immediately punished. The police wait for the proper time to apprehend him. The permitted time for sexual intercourse would be noted by Lord Shiva. Aditi would meet with proper punishment, giving birth as a child of ghostly nature or a ghostly, godless, impersonalist. But Kasyapa foresaw this. The forbidden time for sexual intercourse would be noted by Lord Shiva, and Didi would meet with the proper punishment by giving birth to a child of ghostly character or godless and personless. Kasyapa foresaw this, and thus he warned his wife Didi. So thus ends the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation, purport, text 25, chapter 14, canto 3 of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the matter of pregnancy of Didi in the evening, spoken in Raha Madhava Astasati Mandir, ISKCON Shimayapur, Nadia, West Bengal, on the eastern side of the Ganges. The second half of the life of Lord Brahma. Are primarily giving us advice about how to properly exercise the grihastha life in specific and in general, the necessity of following the rules and regulations. In the previous verses, Kasyapa was glorifying his wife because of being married. Grihastha had a license for sense gratification. They didn't have to fear going down into hell. Whereas a sannyasi or someone of renounced order, if they somehow break their vows of celibacy without being duly married, then they will also go down to hell forever. So therefore, grihasthas have somewhat security by being in the grihastha life. At the same time, there are certain rules that grihasthas should have to govern on samskara. They should engage sexual relations in a proper time, proper place, within one's own home in the evening. That morning they should go to the temple, pray to the deity for a Krishna conscious child. Deity wanted a child, but she was very eager. She wasn't taking into consideration the time, place, circumstances, rules. She wanted to be impregnated right then. The husband is trying to dissuade her, persuade. It's agreeable to satisfy her desire, but he knows it's not the right time. It's the twilight zone. In the twilight, Shiva comes by with the ghost. Prabhupada would have us chant Purusha Shukta at the twilight and blow conch shells and sprinkle Ganges water burn incense. Sadanivas or Pankajan, we go up to his room, perform this ritual every day. Just at that time, you can imagine. At that time, you don't want to have any unwanted guests enter into your house for the rest of the night. They should keep on moving. So that's why by doing all these rituals, then the subtle entities, which like inauspicious things, they don't feel very welcome with all the holy incense, the mantras, the conchas, they go on. The mosquitoes come out at sunset. You leave your window open, they all go in the house. Prabhupada didn't give any elaborate commentary, but he didn't have the devotees perform this ritual. He also filled his room up with a lot of frankincense smoke to keep out the mosquitoes. He'd open up the windows and completely fill up the room with smoke of frankincense, duna, then all the mosquitoes would all fly out of the window, and they lock the window, and inside there'd be no mosquitoes. This is a non-violent way of getting rid of mosquitoes. All they have is electronic poisons, but it's bad for the health. Matt. All out, all dead, good night, so many friends. They're actually killing the mosquito. One time in Calcutta, there was a devotee. He was trying to kill the mosquito for filling Prabhupada's room. Prabhupada said, you put a blue velvet curtain on my window, and all the mosquitoes are attracted to this damp, dark colored cloth. So first you attract them, then you want to kill them. You're actually. You should take out the cloth that's attracting them, keep them out in the first place, and you don't have to kill them. So, there are subtle entities, and it also mentions here that Shiva gives them blessings. So if somebody has illicit sex or sex at the wrong time, wrong place, even if they're married, then Shiva thinks, well, these people are not following their rules properly. So okay, come over here, my dear friend, hey, ghost number 16,800, whatever. I don't know their name. You go in the room, you get a new body. And then the family is blessed with a ghostly child. A child that has not a very devotional background. I mean, if this applies to Kasyapa Muni, who's one of the great rishis of the universe, one of the Prajapatis, what to speak of any ordinary vihasta? You should be really afraid of having a conception at the wrong time. But what happens in a matter of minutes, then you'll be taken care of for the whole life. Of course, parents still love their children. Maybe there's a hope for being a person to be a devotee. But a lot harder work. And if you get someone who's like Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his wife, they prayed to Lord Jagannath for a ray of Vishnu, for a pure devotee, they got Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, which is a lot more potential. We spread Krishna consciousness all over, established 64 temples, the power of Prabhupada, to spread it all over the world. You know that Prabhupada's father was always asking the sadhus to bless his son. That Radharani would have her mercy on him. So like this, Prabhupada once said that one of the qualities of being a pure devotee is that your parent is also a pure devotee. So we need our grihasthas to produce nice Krishna conscious children. There's a lot of important tips here about time and place. Another thing that mentioned is how great Lord Shiva is. He's completely detached. He's very much renounced. He knows past, present and future. He's Mahadeva, he's the Lord of the material energy. Durga Devi, the material energy, is his maid servant. Yet he plays very much detached. Even though he has his crematorium dust on his body, this sign of his detachment. It's like we heard how Lord Kishore Das Babaji, in order to remain very detached, and decided against his there was a nice skeleton, and it had skull lying free. In the West, actually, they sell skeletons for the college courses and anatomy. In India you can find some time. This line. Once I was going to bathe in Wanpoi River and I saw a dog coming up to me wagging his tail, and in his head, in his mouth was a skull. And he looked at me wagging his tail, he started looking out the inside of his skull. It was so gross. Again, in the West, he said, animal and a dog to a man's best friend. And here, Prabhupada said that sometimes the dogs like to eat the nose of a human being. And then it's very soft and sweet. But they're looking at your face and wagging their tail, I like to eat your nose. I thought that's so heavy. Then once in Hyderabad, there was a news article that in the morgue, they were leaving the door open and one dog was going in eating the noses off the corpses. That's true. I mean, I didn't doubt that, but it's confirmed. Still doing even today. So, sometimes you see things in India that you don't see other places. It helps you to get a little detached. We want to take advantage of this human form of life, take shelter under Krishna's lotus feet to the Guru Parampara, engage in devotional service. So, there are a number of tips here given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, what to do, what not to do, when to do it. That helps us to avoid getting further entangled. Somebody gets married, they go to the fire sacrifice. They're taking vows to be together until their very old age, until they die or take sannyas. Sometimes people, they also don't follow that vow remain together.
This is
also a yajna to be married. Prabhupada was quite frustrated about that. Then he finally said, well, whatever, when you're in Rome, do it the Romans, something like that. Whatever the local laws are, you can follow. Then he advised, don't get married by fire sacrifice until you're sure you're going to be together. This is, it's like sannyasis, they take a vow not to get married. Grihasthas take a vow to be married. And they should stick with that. That's their vrata, that's their austerity. When they think that they're going to have a better arrangement, it's a spiritually another obstacle for them. So, many of these different things that are being discussed here. Yesterday was Shyamananda Pandit's appearance day. I had to go to an IGD meeting to discuss about Shyamananda Pandit. A little bit. We talk about Rasikananda. Shyamananda Pandit, he was disciple of Gauridas Pandit. And his first name was Tuki Krishna Das. He got initiated, he was given the name Suki Krishna Das. Why a servant of Krishna would be Duki, would be Suki, happy. He went to, was sent to the Vrindavan to study under Jiva Goswami. Then many things happened. Somehow he found the Nupur or some jewelry from Radharani, and Balita came and said, that's my friend's. He said, well, I don't know, I'm not going to give it to anyone else but the owner. You tell your friend to come here, I'll give it to her. So the Radharani went, and he gave it to her, and she took her finger and gave him a blessing on the forehead. Since then a little white dot came in his forehead. When he came back, then so many different things happened. Also the Devi blessed him and he got given the name Shyamananda. When he came back, the Guru, Gauridas Pandit. Hridai Chaitanya, yeah, the disciple of Gauridas Pandit, Hridai Chaitanya. He was upset, worried. He has a new name, a new Tivar. He wrote a letter to Jiva Goswami to find out. Because etiquette, if Diksha Guru gives you your name, Shiksha Guru gives you further instruction for your advancement. You're not supposed to change your name. Name is part of the initiation process. Name, deed, vows, surrendering. He sent a message all the way walking to Vrindavan, 1,000 kilometers, to find out why this has happened. Jiva Goswami wrote back that he didn't do anything. Devi gave him the name, Radharani gave him the tilak. I don't believe he had to take the tilak off. He's not putting it on there by Radharani's own finger. Like this wrote back. So then, this was kind of a little bit the relationship between Diksha Guru and Shiksha Guru. They're both working together to deliver the disciple. At the same time, they follow certain etiquette. We came back, we tried to rub off the tilak. We got the message. It disappeared and come back. Disappeared and come back. Shyamananda Pandit went to with the Srinivas Acharya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, went to together back to Bengal with all the books. They were scrolling in Bhaktura. Shyamananda Sadhu went down to Ramuna and Gopi Balapur. He was preaching in Pindapur and Orissa. Still they have many followers there. They know that when they see that there's a little white cloud in the middle. They are putting the white cloud. That's what I think. Then the chief disciple was Rasikananda. Rasikananda, he gave the order even in his presence that he should be, he should initiate disciple. It's also in Iskand, if the Guru orders the disciple to initiate and if he's accepted by the, accepting the no objection process, then he can also initiate. The few Prabhupada grand disciples whose gurus are present that are already initiating. Rasikananda was a very special devotee. He mainly stayed at the Ramuna future Gopinath temple. But one day there was some yogi flying around in the village. So some of the devotees from the village came to Gurudev, Gurudev. They said, "Yogi is flying, flying, flying in the air." At that time he was brushing his teeth with a neem twig. It's not important. Not important. Prabhupada was glorifying neem twig. He said it's a brush and a tongue scraper all at once and it's everyday disposable. Plus the neem is good for every cavity. If you're using these plastic brushes, they contain many bacteria in the brush. They're keeping it for months and months. The Prabhupada also sent us out, we have to get neem twig, chew on it. Many more glories to neem twigs, but I don't think I'll go off on that line right now more. Therefore, should be supplying to our guests neem twigs. How many have tried brushing their teeth with a neem twig? Only the Indians. Oh, yeah, we have. Hakajami and the Manuel. You offer to the deities also neem twig? Someone told me they went to the, they had the early morning darshan, they were brought in, and then they went to Lord Jagannath and Jagannath Puri. There they take a big neem twig and the pujaris. Jagannath has a big smile. They do the whole toothbrushing mudra. Split the neem twig and stay quite Jagannath in front of everything. He says, very beautiful. Huh? Who? Oh, they sell the baton after. That's everything you said. Your website. So then, nothing about. Again, someone else came. He's flying! Gurudev! With the yogi, he's flying! Flying! It's not important. And a third batch came. He's a flying, his yogi is flying. Nothing about took his twig, put it under his leg. Start flying around the ashram, the temple courtyard. He told you these things are not important. Gurudev! This is a Vaishnavas don't show off the mystic powers. If you got impatient with him. So like that, he was very much empowered. Preacher, and he had a lot of special powers. And like that. Even you go nowadays, more than Orissa, a lot of Vaishnavas there, teaching Jagannath devotees, but also Lord Chaitanya devotees. So,
especially the sunset
So she didn't wait and he couldn't resist, so as a result she had some pretty heavy duty gifts. Any comments, any questions? Yes. Somebody offers you Mahaprasad, Charanamrit. I haven't seen too many people sit down and take the Charanamrit. I don't know what you think. But normally when we accept a full meal, Ayurvedically, it's better for digestion, we eat sitting down. And Gaurinathai Das told me that one of Kaviraj told him that if you drink standing up, you can cause hernia too. I think it's more of an Ayurvedic thing. Vedic way is sit and eat. And what Western way is fast food, stand and eat. I don't know if that's offensive to Prasad or anything. Or that's just like Ayurvedically not good. Sure, Ayurvedically eating and standing and walking is not the definition. Don't take the prasad, that'll be offensive. Somebody gives it. Isn't this a big amount of prasad? You can sit down and eat it, just a little small puni kamapram. There are the puni gajas. Prasadam from Lakshmi, but he flew in outer space and ate it. He wasn't even sitting or standing, he was flying. We got Narayana's Mahaprasad, he wasn't waiting for anything. No rules, no regulations. Once Prabhupada gave a gulab jamun to Kamapishnamara. Put it on his plate. Kept looking at it. He was really just, I got Prabhupada's Maha right from his plate, Gulab Jamun. He just kept looking at it and feeling very happy that he had it. Finally, the boy next to him reached over, grabbed it, and ate it. You took my gulab jamun. He was very upset. The Prabhupada, look what he did, he took my gulab jamun. Prabhupada said, when we get prasad, we should take it right away. Mahaprasad, there's no rules. So, get that super Mahaprasad, don't worry about sitting down. If you're taking a normal lunch, better to sit now. I guess. One question, okay. Last question. Taken a sankalpa to do a nirjala fast on Ekadasi. You have to do a nirjala. You can save the prasad and take it after Ekadasi. Or you can take charanamrita and do three drops. Charanamrita doesn't break that. That's what I've been told by all the contents. Said he heard about one person one meat and swallowed in saliva. Seems a bit heavy. It's a lubrication for the body. Thank you. We're ready here for the Annaprasana. Your people are here or not? you very much.